1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. 2 days after their debate, it's back to the campaign trail.
Former President Trump heads to battleground Arizona today, insisting he won Tuesday's debate, but refusing to commit to another.
I enjoyed it. Are we going to do a rematch? I just don't know. We'll think about it.
Vice President Harris kicking off what she's calling her New Way Forward tour. The campaign, facing criticism that Harris has been avoiding interviews, is expected to ramp up media engagements, especially in battleground states.
ABC's Christiane Cordero. The Secret Service is designating this coming January 6th, when Congress will certify results of the November election, as a national special security event, the highest such designation in the federal government. Now blowing at 45 miles an hour, former hurricane, now Tropical Storm Francine, was moving further inland, spreading heavy rain over southern Mississippi and Louisiana. 420,000 homes and businesses with no electricity, mostly in Louisiana. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The latest Marquette poll is trending for Kamala Harris. She leads Donald Trump by 4 points among likely Wisconsin voters. The race was dead even a month ago. Here's poll director Charles Franklin.
These changes are all inside that margin of error, but having said all of that, other things look like Harris is in a little bit better shape this time than last time.
The poll was taken before last night's debate. Meanwhile, Tammy Baldwin has a 5-point lead over Eric Hovde among likely voters in the race for U.S. Senate. Governor Evers had to cancel plans to visit a northern Wisconsin high school Tuesday because of a threat. The superintendent in Hurley became concerned about a social media post and canceled school for the rest of the day. Local law enforcement looked into it and determined the threat was not serious. And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
The Packers go from QB1 to QB2. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cuska with sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. With Jordan Love out for a few weeks with an MCL sprain, Malik Willis is stepping into the starting quarterback spot in Green Bay. Willis says he's staying focused on Indianapolis and doing what he can to help the team.
It's Wednesday. I'm not worried about that. It's just continuing to work each day this week and gain more and more confidence in the guys and have them gain more confidence in me if that's the plan, or just be ready to go if Jordan can't go. And that's all up to Jordan.
The Packers play the Colts this Sunday. Each team will be looking for its first win. The Brewers were blown out in San Francisco 13-2 on Wednesday. Milwaukee has lost 6 of its past 9 games, but the Brewers still lead the NL Central by 8.5 games over the Cubs. The Brewers and Giants wrap up their series today. On Saturday, one of college football's top programs comes to Madison. Wisconsin will play host to Alabama. Kickoff is at 11 a.m. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cuska with Civic Media Sports.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious? 1 in 10 kids vape serious? Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure, like yourself. Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad, or the seriously smart podcaster. It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously. The best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Dom Salvia.
Next time, we will dive into the Marquette University Law School polling, plus special guest host Earl Ingram Jr. Don't miss it.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Mostly sunny today with a high in the mid to upper 80s this afternoon. The wind will be out of the southeast at 5 to 15. Tonight, mostly clear, upper 50s to low 60s. Tomorrow, partly cloudy with a high in the low to mid 80s. Could see a few scattered showers and thundershowers tomorrow night into Saturday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 53.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Today's U.S. Bowling League Day. I am not in a bowling league. I think that would actually be kind of fun.
Oh, yeah.
I do like to bowl. But
you got the bowling shirt going on tonight there, Pete.
I do have the bowling shirt. In case the game breaks out, I'm ready. Because I was raised, I'm a street bowler, Chris. I'm ready in case a game breaks out. It could happen.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Jane Matinere and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show at 11:33, he joins us every other Thursday. The Acme Packing Company sports guru, Paul Noonan, joins us to talk all things sports balls. Don't miss it.
Matinere on air, weekday mornings at 10.
We have got a warm one on the way around the state of Wisconsin. It's a Thursday. Welcome in, everybody. I'm the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke. This is the Midwest Farm Report, and I'll tell you what, hot and dry is exactly what you can expect if you're going to be outdoors today. In fact, our daytime highs in that La Crosse area, you're looking at nearly 87 degrees along the lakeshore, a little cooler, but still topping out around 80 degrees. And like I said, sunshine will persist. Tomorrow we cool down just a little bit with temperatures back into the upper 70s. Weekend looks nice. Maybe a possibility for a little shower Saturday night into Sunday, but really doesn't look like it's going to amount to much. Stu Mocker, ag meteorologist, on the way in just a little while with all your weather details. Also on the way, we're checking in with Jenny Wackershauser from EverAg to talk about the rally up we've seen in the dairy trade lately. Is this holiday motivated buying or what's going on there? She'll try to provide us with some answers. A new executive director for the Wisconsin FFA alumni and supporters. Tell you about her. We're also bringing you details on how one piece of state legislation saving a lot of our dairy companies transportation costs. So a full bushel basket full of information on the way. We kick it off on a Thursday morning recapping one of our conversations from our recent Alaska farm tour. You know, to be the biggest beef producer in Alaska is saying something. Scott Muckridge is exactly that. He's got his beef operation just outside of Delta Junction, Alaska, where he's raising his cattle primarily all on grass. Those beef animals are high value in Alaska, as you can imagine. I talked with Scott and asked him to take us back on how he moved from Nebraska to Delta Junction, Alaska, to become the state's number one beef producer.
So we've been here 11 years, come here in 2013. Beef has been our main goal ever since we've been here, our main project ever since we've been here. We raise predominantly most of our feed. We do buy, you know, screen grain, stuff like that from some places that, the Alaska Flour Mill that you've been to. We buy their screenings and stuff, but and feed some byproduct. But predominantly, we raise our own feeds, and we import cattle from Canada as well as buy cattle from all over the state of Alaska and run a couple hundred cows ourselves. But anyway, we try to market. We market as much as the slaughter capacity will let us. That is our bottleneck, I guess, for growth is the slaughter capacity. But we try to market 400-500 a year, you know, and long in numbers. We've been we have been as high as 1,500 a year. But it's not something we can maintain at the current slaughter capacity.
Well, how many slaughter lockers do you have?
We have three USDA plants in the state, and they're always on shaky legs. It's tough. And it's tough market business making money.
So let's talk about that business. So in Wisconsin, we've got our dairy beef cross. We're happy campers these days. How's the market for you up here?
So the market here doesn't fluctuate like it does down there, but we do. We did see quite of an increase when your costs went up and beef started going up. We raised ours too, but we were raising ours mainly because of our input costs. Yours is demand. People are just eating beef. And I seen the other day a really neat fact. You're seeing more prime beef in the United States than ever, and that is totally due to those Holstein crosses. And so anyway, or I think most of it's due to that. But anyway, it's a great thing that people are consuming beef and the demand's high for it. And, you know, always in the past when beef got high, they switched to chicken or pork or something, but it seems like they're staying with us now. But now we don't have those slides or swings in the market like you do, but also we have extremely high input costs and some terrible weather conditions, you know, long winter season. And we're doing everything we can to mitigate those seasons. You know, we grow cover crops that we swath graze down and we get an extra 6 weeks of grazing time in the fall or winter to us. We're doing everything we can to mitigate those expenses. The reason I'm the biggest is I market the most, and I market them the most efficiently. But you know, by raising my own inputs and doing things like I'm doing with the swath graze is what's keeping us there and allowing that. But
yeah. Now, what about buying, acquiring? You mentioned you get them from Canada. You kind of get them from wherever, and that's based on where you are. How's that availability been for you?
It's good, but your outside feeder cattle now are so doggone high. We can't hardly import them because our import costs are horrific. Sure. You know, the closest cattle to me in Canada are 1,500 miles away. So that's a pretty expensive truck ride up here. And so it's even hard to go outside and get them right now. But, you know, it's doable. It's something we can do. And I think we're going to fix that slaughter thing. I think we're going to build our own slaughter floor. Because our customer, our clientele base that we sell to are markets. And so we wholesale to them. They have that processing infrastructure already in those places. Yeah. So we don't need to reinvent the wheel. We just need to get them dead.
Yep.
And I'm pardon the phrase dead, but we need to get them market ready. And all that takes is a slaughter facility. And I think we're going to build one here on the farm. But
no, one thing, though, I've learned visiting with you guys is you do collaborate one another in-state, cross species. You guys, there's not a lot of you, so you collaborate. Tell me a little bit about how that's been building over the past couple of years.
That's a huge thing. And if all farmers could get along, wouldn't it? We could move mountains. But that collaboration is something I guess I've maybe instrumental a little bit in that. Because when I come here, I told everybody, what are you worried about protecting your little niche market you've carved out? Why are you worried about protecting that? We raise 2% of the food this state consumes.
Yeah.
We will never, our grandkids will never be competition to one another. And, you know, I hope it's growing, but I don't feel like anybody is a competition to me. And I don't think they should either. And that's helped with this collaboration. And my position in Farm Bureau and stuff, we have shared that word and got it out there. And I think that's what's helping our growth. You know, we lead the country, the last census, we lead the country in women farmers. We lead it in veteran farmers. We lead it in the youngest age of farmers. And we are the only state that is growing in farm numbers, acres, and as well as gate-to-plate marketing.
Yeah.
And it's amazing what we're doing here. And most of it is on farms 10 acres and less.
Yeah.
There are not a lot of commercial farms like mine or some, you know, there are few in this area. There are few and far between. But there are a lot of small farms.
Yeah, you know, yeah. Well, but you're welcoming to all. You guys would love to see, what I hear, 100,000 acres available in this Delta Junction, and you guys would love to see everybody come on in and get their big toe in the water.
Yeah, they should. There's ground here that's growing back into trees. We're raising in the neighborhood of 5,000 to 6,000 acres in grain is all we do here. Yeah. And that's just, you know, there's no reason for that. We should have more animals consuming that grain. We should be, what our problem should be, is animals competing for the same grounds growing grain for them. You know, our pasture acres should be competing with those grain acres, and it's not the case. The 100,000 acres or so we have here, we're farming 5,000 or 6,000 of it. Now, I put up a great deal of hay. We put up over 1,700 acres of hay a year, but not everybody's into that kind of a thing, you know, and a lot of these farmers are raising maybe 500 acres of grain or something and could be doing lots more.
Yep. Now, what about the state side of things? Due respect, agriculture, the Department of Agriculture for Alaska is a little on the thin side as far as staffing and maybe prowess at trying to help you guys along. Give me an update on that, Scott.
We are working on that. It's my great hope that we get to turn our Division of Agriculture into a department so that we have a direct contact with the administration, which we don't quite have now. We are... I like to refer to it as we are the redheaded stepchild of the oil and gas industry because we are under that division in agriculture. Mm-hmm. So if we would like to separate ourselves, maybe take forestry out from under there with us and be our own department and have our own cabinet member that answers to the governor directly. And that's the hope and dream. For now, we'll take anything we can get. I believe we're working really hard right now. We're trying to get some marketing help in our division, which, you know, good farmers are not always good at everything else. Yeah. And marketing's a tough one. Yeah. And so if we can put somebody in that position that could help these farmers achieve these marketing, and I know earlier, there's not time for it now, but I share with you about the marketing of that Only Dairy here. And, you know, it was a great deal of effort for them to get in some of these stores. Yeah. And so that's where we're hoping to get some help. But hopefully down the road here, we're going to see a Department of Agriculture come into the state. This growth phase continue. That 100,000 acres we talk about here, that's only a pimple on the butt of what's here.
Right.
There are millions of eligible agriculture acres in this state. And so it's something that I'd like to see continue growing and for my grandkids and as well as, you know, the future of everyone else.
I'll come back and see you in a couple of years. We'll track the progress.
I'm going to be down
there. That's right.
I'm going to be down to Dairy Expo, and I hope to see you there.
That's right. Absolutely. We're going to show him a little something about dairy because he just got done showing me a little something about Alaska beef. Scott Mungrage along with us. And like I said, outside of Delta Junction on our Alaska farm tour, it's the fabulous Farm Bay Pam Yonke.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. This is News from the Center, WRCE, 1450 AM and 107.7 FM.
At Civic Media, we encourage active political engagement and remind listeners to think critically about political advertisements you may hear during this critical election year. Our stations are licensed by the FCC and are required to accept all ads for federal candidates. We also air state and local candidates, as well as paid ads from issue and PAC groups. Truth is rarely as simple as any political ad may claim. So again, we urge you to think critically about what you hear in the spirit of promoting authentic and respectful civic dialogue.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on News from the Center. 107.7 FM and 1450 AM WRCE and on the Civic Media app. Matinair on Air.
Wisconsin Public Radio Dodge County Clerk's backtrack on using drop boxes after concerns from Republican Sheriff in order to prevent the perception of voter fraud.
What is he citing as any sort of proof of concern about this?
Gut feeling.
Oh, it's
a gut feeling.
Yeah,
inherently.
Feel it in your bones.
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
Matinair on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Most people out here think that taking care of one another is important. And most people would step up for a neighbor going through a tough time. Most people around here help out friends and family when they need it. But the funny thing is, most of us won't look for help when we need it. Talk to someone if you're struggling with mental health, because most people out here really care. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Pete Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, it's our popcorn pick of the week at 6:35 featuring Sandy's Popper from Kenosha. Miss Harbor City's Jenna Watkins joins the show and Al Petrelli from the Trans-Siberian Orchestra.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Shall we say, quote, the bad kids. And we get surrounded by so many good kids when it comes to agriculture. Here's a story out of Clark County that you'll appreciate. A gal named Anna Cahart, currently a student at UW-River Falls, was at the Clark County Fair, which actually just wrapped up a couple days ago, up in Neillsville. She had the grand champion dairy market steer. The night before, the day before, her neighbors had a barn fire. Jeremy and Bethany Oberholzer. It destroyed their milking barn, some other buildings, so they basically got shut down. That really weighed heavy on Anna, so she sold her grand champion dairy steer and donated all of the proceeds. Lynn Dairy in Granton bid on the steer, $15.75 a pound. That young lady raised over $22,000 just with that gesture to help her neighbors. Now, and that's not the only time that I hear stories like this. I've witnessed it myself, where these kids are in the ring. They dedicate their hog, their sheep, their steer, to maybe a buddy that's got cancer or a family that's in need. I mean, we've got so many good kids out there. It just made me want to pause as we kind of get ready to say goodbye to the fair season this year.
Oh, yeah, we've got more good kids than we'd ever think we do, I think, and especially 4-H and FFA members, those in county fairs, they're the ones that are going to show up. They're fantastic.
Yeah, yeah, and they fly under the radar. They're so humble. It's not like they're out there, you know, beating the drum for themselves. So I thought I'd do that a little bit this morning as well. You know, you talk about a barn fire. I'll tell you what, if you're up early this morning, I smell smoke in the air. Is that, where are the wild, I am assuming wildfires that are sending that smell our way?
They've been going in Canada all summer, just like last summer, and it's starting to drop further south. I see some reports not only in Wisconsin, but all the way south into Iowa. They're experiencing smoke today. It just settled in as the high levels of the atmosphere have been pretty quiet for us for a while. So, yeah, you're going to see some of that smoke, a little hazy sunrise and sunset because of it, but a little hazy with some moisture building in this morning as well, some fog here and there. Especially in the northern part of the state, the fog's out there. There's some rain out to the west as well. Northwest North Dakota up into southern Canada, Montana and Wyoming too. Low pressure is trying to strengthen out there and make its way on toward Wyoming and into Montana as well. Now, as that low will try to build east, I don't expect we're going to see a major change, but there will be a few more clouds and some rain possibility may finally begin to enter in the picture, especially in northwest and western Wisconsin, even late Friday or into Saturday. In the south and eastern parts of the state, not until later Saturday or Saturday night. Very scattered hit or miss showers. I don't expect a major storm, not inches of rain by any means. Even though moisture from Hurricane Francine is trying to build north and fuel it a bit, we're not going to get that much rain because of it. But some rain chance tries to edge in into the weekend. Could linger a little later Sunday as well. And the temperatures still, even though they cool for the weekend, will be on the above normal side right into next week. I'll have more of those forecast details right after this.
Are crumbling roads making your job difficult? The Agricultural Road Improvement Program is a resource that can help. Applications are now open and will close on September 30th. Help your local town or county apply for this valuable investment in local roadways by filling out the Farmer Support Form, now available at WFBF.com. Wisconsin Farm Bureau, the trusted voice leading Wisconsin agriculture forward.
Corn rootworm is a ruthless pest, which is why Bayer is relentless in its innovation. SmartStax Pro with RNAi technology is here. With an RNAi-based mode of action unlike anything that's come before, plus two proven BT traits, it's innovation that equals the strongest biotech defense in medium to high corn rootworm pressure environments from Bayer. Talk to your seed dealer about defending like a pro with SmartStax Pro technology. Read and follow pesticide label directions, IRM, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices. Copyright 2024 Bayer Group. All rights reserved.
Whether it's finally getting that blue ribbon or enjoying too many carnival rides, we all have memories of the fair. Here's your chance to share those stories in our Everybody Has a Fair Story contest. The Midwest Farm Report is teaming up with the Wisconsin Association of Fairs as they look for the grand champion fair story. Enter the Fair Story contest for a chance to win a cash prize at MidwestFarmReport.com.
Love those stories. All right, Stu, let's have the story on the weather.
All right, well, a little bit of that haze and fog this morning. Overall, though, we're all in for a mostly sunny day, another fantastic one. Lower 80s in the north, mid-80s in the south, and the southeast winds pick up a little bit, about 5 to 15. Partly cloudy overnight, could be some of the fog around late. We expect nighttime lows in the upper 50s up to around 60 with an east breeze about 5. Tomorrow, more partly sunny skies, some of the haze and the like. And expect temperatures in the upper 70s to low 80s. East and southeast winds 5 to 10. That slight rain chance in the west and northwest as we make our way on toward late tonight. And then Saturday, more partly sunny skies. That chance of a scattered shower building into the south and east in the state as well. Upper 70s and low 80s. Doesn't cool that much, Pam. Still upper 70s, low 80s through Sunday and into next week. Hit or miss, light rain.
Oh, yeah. And you know what? It is getting a little crispy. I know my lawnmower guy said something about not going to have to make too many repeat visits if we don't get rain pretty soon.
Yeah, and if we only get a tenth of an inch or so, it isn't going to be that big of a deal either.
No, Very true. All right, buddy. We'll catch up with you tomorrow. Thanks.
All right. See ya.
Stumach, ag meteorologist with weather details that you're looking for. Hey, speaking of details, we've got more details at MidwestFarmReport.com. Want to congratulate Jonathan Gibbs from Fox Lake. He just took over as president of the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board. You can find out more at MidwestFarmReport.com.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Ithaca's choice for news, talk, and sports. News from the Center, WRCE, 1450 AM and 107.7 FM.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. In the September 10th presidential debate, former President Trump claimed that Democrats tolerated illegal immigration so non-citizens would fraudulently vote. Such claims might rile up the GOP base, but they are patently false. The narrative of voting by non-citizen immigrants has been around for years, but pushed recently by former Trump election lawyer Cleta Mitchell. Mitchell alleges that because states issue driver's licenses to non-citizens and IDs are required to vote, this translates to massive voter fraud. It's not true. Non-citizen voting for state and federal elections has been illegal since the early 1900s. To register in almost all states, a birth certificate, naturalization certificate, or passport is required, and non-citizens registering are subject to fines, prison, or deportation. The Brennan Center for Justice recently wrote, "Would you risk everything, your freedom, your life in the United States, your ability to be near your family, just to cast a single ballot?" The Brennan Center's 2016 research of 42 jurisdictions which processed 23.5 million votes found only 30 suspected cases. And investigations typically find clerical mistakes responsible, not intentional fraud. A study review by the conservative Cato Institute concluded there is no good evidence that non-citizens voted illegally in large enough numbers to actually shift the outcome of elections. We've linked the research at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Max Inc. on Civic Media with Mike and Wendy from Sunspot. Can you imagine the mosh pit on the bridge that could happen?
Oh, well, that's how the original series was, when they moved the camera, whenever it's like the red alert. The,
right.
Yeah. That was the mosh pit.
Yeah. And everybody had to like fake like.
Right. Lean left. Great. Lean right.
Yeah.
Join us for all the fun with Max Inc. on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media radio network and on the Civic Media app.
Matt and Air on Air.
Wisconsin Public Radio Dodge County clerks backtrack on using drop boxes after concerns from Republican sheriff in order to prevent the perception of voter fraud.
What is he citing as any sort of proof of concern about this?
Gut feeling. Oh, it's a gut feeling. Yeah, inherently.
Feel it in your bones.
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
Matt and Air on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. 2 days after their debate, it's back to the campaign trail.
Former President Trump heads to battleground Arizona today, insisting he won Tuesday's debate, but refusing to commit to another.
I enjoyed it. Are we going to do a rematch? I just don't know. We'll think about it.
Vice President Harris kicking off what she's calling her New Way Forward tour. The campaign, facing criticism that Harris has been avoiding interviews, is expected to ramp up media engagements, especially in battleground states.
ABC's Christiane Cordero. The Secret Service is designating this coming January 6th, when Congress will certify results of the November election, as a national special security event, the highest such designation in the federal government. Now blowing at 45 miles an hour, former hurricane, now tropical storm Francine, was moving further inland, spreading heavy rain over southern Mississippi and Louisiana. 420,000 homes and businesses with no electricity, mostly in Louisiana. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The latest Marquette poll is trending for Kamala Harris. She leads Donald Trump by 4 points among likely Wisconsin voters. The race was dead even a month ago. Here's poll director Charles Franklin.
These changes are all inside that margin of error, but having said all of that, other things look like Harris is in a little bit better shape this time than last time.
The poll was taken before last night's debate. Meanwhile, Tammy Baldwin has a 5-point lead over Eric Hovde among likely voters in the race for U.S. Senate. Governor Evers had to cancel plans to visit a northern Wisconsin high school Tuesday because of a threat. The superintendent in Hurley became concerned about a social media post and canceled school for the rest of the day. Local law enforcement looked into it and determined the threat was not serious. And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
The Packers go from QB1 to QB2. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cuska with Sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. With Jordan Love out for a few weeks with an MCL sprain, Malik Willis is stepping into the starting quarterback spot in Green Bay. Willis says he's staying focused on Indianapolis and doing what he can to help the team.
It's Wednesday. I'm not worried about that. It's just continuing to work each day this week and gain more and more confidence in the guys and have them gain more confidence in me if that's the plan, or just be ready to go if Jordan can go. And that's all up to Jordan.
The Packers play the Colts this Sunday. Each team will be looking for its first win. The Brewers were blown out in San Francisco 13-2 on Wednesday. Milwaukee has lost 6 of its past 9 games, but the Brewers still lead the NL Central by 8.5 games over the Cubs. The Brewers and Giants wrap up their series today. On Saturday, one of college football's top programs comes to Madison. Wisconsin will play host to Alabama. Kickoff is at 11 a.m. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cuska with Civic Media Sports.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we welcome the senior advisor to the Lincoln Project, Trigby Olson, back to the program. Your calls as well. Be there.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Mostly sunny today with a high in the mid to upper 80s this afternoon. The wind will be out of the southeast at 5 to 15. Tonight, mostly clear, upper 50s to low 60s. Tomorrow, partly cloudy with a high in the low to mid 80s. Could see a few scattered showers and thundershowers tomorrow night into Saturday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 53.
The kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles west, northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898. But 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Jerry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Get ready to go for the green or gold with Civic Media's new Text to Win contest. When you go for the green or gold, you could win $100 cash, gold jewelry, and be entered to win our grand prize, 2 indoor club-level seats to see the green and gold in Green Bay. Download the free Civic Media app and get ready to text in for your first chance to win in this statewide contest starting Monday, September 16th. Get ready to go for the green or gold with your local Civic Media radio station. Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Today's U.S. Bowling League Day. I am not in a bowling league. I think that would actually be kind of fun.
Oh, yeah.
I do like to bowl. But
you got the bowling shirt going on tonight there, Pete.
I do have the bowling shirt. In case a game breaks out, I'm ready. Because I was raised, I'm a street bowler, Chris. I'm ready in case a game breaks out. It could happen.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Matt Nair on air.
Wisconsin Public Radio, Dodge County Clerk's backtrack on using drop boxes after concerns from Republican Sheriff in order to prevent the perception of voter fraud.
What is he citing as any sort of proof of concern about this?
Gut feeling.
Oh, it's a gut feeling.
Yeah, inherently.
Feel it in your bones.
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts. You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
News from the center, WRCE.
It's like you're going from one legend, and you look at Kalen DeBoer.
Jenny Wackershauser, one of the broker analysts with EverAg, is going to be stepping to the microphone a little bit later this morning. Dairy has been on a pretty good tear lately, going higher. Is this all about the holidays coming up, or what's going on? We'll find out what Jenny has to say about that. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke. Yes, this is the Midwest Farm Report. Also on the way, new Executive Director for the Wisconsin FFA alumni and supporters. Familiar face to a lot of us that are involved in the FFA. And the bear population in Wisconsin, very, very healthy. It's bear season right now. Ben Jarbo is going to catch up with some of our DNR specialists that are monitoring that population. That's just around the corner. So today is the 12th day of September. What can I tell you? On this day, back in 1953, Camelot was created. Jacqueline Bouvier marries John Fitzgerald Kennedy. It was one of the most talked about weddings of the season. Happened Newport, Rhode Island. At the time of the wedding, John Kennedy was a senator in the U.S. Congress from the state of Massachusetts, and then in 1960, he won the presidency. Camelot created when they got married on this day back in 1953. Happy birthday to actress, songbird Jennifer Hudson. She is 43 years young, and now you know. What you may not know is Wisconsin is well-respected around the North America for our bear population. Not just the number of bears that we've got, but the quality of bears that we've got. Ben Jarbo finds out more about Wisconsin's very healthy bear population.
Whether it be in football or in the wild, Wisconsin residents are familiar with bears and trying to take them down, especially now that bear season is underway. I'm Ben Jarbo with the Midwest Farm Report, and the bear population is looking strong here in Wisconsin as hunting season opens up. Randy Johnson, a large carnivore specialist, is here to explain more on this bear population and what the health of these bears is looking like.
So Wisconsin has a healthy and pretty robust bear population. Our population models put the statewide total population estimate somewhere 24,000-25,000 bears. Again, that's across the whole state. Abundance varies from, different parts of the state. Most of our bears are obviously up north, but we actually see pretty good bear numbers and even growing bear numbers in some of the southern parts of the state. So overall healthy bear population, and I think hunters should be looking forward to a pretty good season.
And with this rather large bear population in the state, is the health of the bears still pretty good, or are some of them going to be a little skinnier because there's so many, or is there enough food sources for them to all be pretty healthy?
Yeah, so far indications are that bears are in really good shape this year. The main thing that I often joke that bears have to eat 12 months worth of food in 6 months while they're active. So especially late summer, early fall, their goal is to eat and pack on as much food as they can. So things like acorns are a huge staple diet item for bears, but also all the different kinds of soft masts that are out there, all the different berries and choke cherries and things like that. Indications I've heard so far from the field are bears are in really good, really fat shape this fall.
Is there like an average weight that they've been able to guess as to where the bears are at?
It's a good question. We don't, as a DNR, we don't actually collect data from hunter-harvested bears on what their size is, but folks like to share that information when they get a bear. And so I would say on average, in our state, a 200-pound bear is at or above the average. That said, you can have adult bears down in the 150-pound range, all the way up to, believe it or not, we have 700-plus-pound bears that are taken in Wisconsin almost every year. And obviously those things are a big animal making a living out there in the woods. But, you know, most bears that are going to be harvested are probably more in that like 200-pound range.
The bear population is looking good this year, as Randy Johnson explains that there are more than 24,000 in the state of Wisconsin. He also says that they are looking healthy, averaging around 150 to 200 pounds, but they can grow to over 700 pounds. From the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo.
Back to school. Whether you're jumping on a yellow school bus or putting that backpack on headed to campus, Bavaria Sausage is thinking about you. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke reminding you, want to keep it simple? Do all your shopping online. BavariaSausage.com. There's a brand new website in development, so check back often and see what they've got. I know what they've got right now. Some really healthy snacks that can be included in those lunch boxes or tucked into that backpack for studying enjoyment. Those Lawn Joggers, new flavors available all the time. And listen, if you're one of the folks dropping the kids off, you want to make life a little simpler, one brand new product that's available at the Fitchburg location, some pre-cut chicken breasts. It's all about an evolving menu that they're working on at Bavaria Sausage. So like I said, check back often at the corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrona Road in Fitchburg, if you're in the area, or online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. BavariaSausage.com. Tell them the Farm Babe sent ya.
At CHS, we know what it takes to feed and fuel the world, to integrate a global ag and energy supply chain, to advocate for farmers in their fields and around the world, to build communities, invest in rural America, and empower rural economies. It takes courage, conviction, commitment. It takes the nation's leading farmer-owned cooperative. It takes a co-op. It takes CHS.
Are crumbling roads making your job difficult? The Agricultural Road Improvement Program is a resource that can help. Applications are now open and will close on September 30th. Help your local town or county apply for this valuable investment in local roadways by filling out the Farmer Support Form, now available at WFBF.com. Wisconsin Farm Bureau, the trusted voice leading Wisconsin agriculture forward.
Sunny, hot, and dry. That's the way you can describe Wisconsin's weather today. The La Crosse area, you're probably going to touch out around 86 degrees. A little cooler on the lakeshore, probably just around 80 degrees. But sunshine for us all. You know, there's been a lot of conversation focused in on the election, specifically the presidential election. But there are other issues that are coming up on ballots that agriculture needs to pay attention to. Fellow farm broadcaster Lori Boyer brings us an update from Colorado, where animal agriculture is under attack.
The Colorado Livestock Association is among ag groups that continue to push back and be concerned about a ballot initiative in the city and county of Denver that would prohibit livestock slaughter. This bill specifically targets Superior Farms, which is a lamb slaughter facility. However, CLA Executive Director Zach Riley says if it can happen to them, it can happen to any facet of the livestock industry.
There is no language approval process similar to the statewide ballot initiative. The bar for getting something on the Denver ballot initiative is so incredibly low. You only need 8,000 signatures to get something on the Denver ballot, which to me is just ludicrous. I don't even understand how that gets through. But yeah, it would ban and prohibit any slaughterhouse in the Denver County and City CNC that does any killing. You could still process a carcass. So essentially targeting one singular business, which in my history with constitutional law is unconstitutional and highly illegal.
In addition, Riley says there is a second ballot initiative by the same group pushing for this ballot initiative that would prohibit the manufacturing of hide and fur.
Top of mind, very concerning. I mean, you're going to displace almost 200 jobs. You're going to upend a employee-owned operation. I mean, this isn't like it's just one big corporate conglomerate that everybody loves to malign. It is an employee-owned operation and predominantly a employee demographic of all minorities.
Zach Riley with the Colorado Livestock Association.
Thanks, Lori. Keep us posted on what's happening in Colorado. What's happening in the marketplace on a Thursday morning? Our market's trending a little bit stronger as far as corn and beans are concerned. Currently, December corn's up 2 at 406 and a half. November soybeans about a nickel stronger at 10.05. December wheat currently up 8 at 587 a bushel. Dairy had a good day yesterday. Barrel cheese was up another 4.5 cents to 238 and a half. 40-pound block cheese a penny stronger, 231 and a half. Double A butter stood still at 317 and a half per pound. Well, I'll tell you what, she does not stand still. Congratulations to the new executive director of the Wisconsin FFA Alumni Foundation and supporters. Terry Costello has taken on the reins of that leadership. Now, Terry is no stranger to anybody that's involved in agriculture education or the FFA. For 27 years, she was the agriculture instructor in Waupun, just retiring this past spring. Terry accepted the responsibility as executive director of the Wisconsin FFA Alumni from Cheryl Steinbeck, their previous executive director, and interim director, Grant Stajic. So again, congratulations to Terry. She's ready to go. Well, we're ready to go with Jenny Wackershauser from EverAg. She joins us next to tell us what's motivating all this interest in dairy. Stand by.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
News from the center, WRCE, 1450 AM and 107.7 FM. Richland County's choice for news, talk, and sports.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. I have got some credit card news. My favorite agency, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, they recently looked at credit card offers from lenders that were big and small, and boy, oh, did they find a difference. No matter how good your credit is, small local banks and credit unions offer lower interest rates. I mean like 8 to 10% lower. The CFPB says that if you have credit under 620, large banks these days are probably going to offer you an APR of around 29%. That's brutal. And small banks and credit unions are coming in just over 20%. Got a credit score of 720 or better? Some smaller lenders are doing 15% APRs. Big lenders are in the low 20s. Now, of course, paying your card off every month is the best way to avoid paying interest. But I sure do like knowing that local cards have cheaper rates. For more money tips, check out Work Money Media on YouTube. This is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on News from the Center. 107.7 FM and 1450 AM WRCE. And on the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Today's U.S. Bowling League Day. I am not in a bowling league. I think that would actually be kind of fun.
Oh, yeah.
I do like to bowl. But
you got the bowling shirt going on tonight there, Pete.
I do have the bowling shirt. In case the game breaks out, I'm ready. Because I was raised, I'm a street bowler, Chris. I'm ready in case a game breaks out. It could happen.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Dom Selvia.
Next time, we will dive into the Marquette University Law School polling, plus special guest host Earl Ingram Jr. Don't miss it.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
The holiday buying that we normally expect to kick in, or is there something else influencing that cheese market?
Morning, Pam. Yes, we're seeing it's the normal fall convergence of several things coming in. We've got short cheese supply as we're going into holiday buying, and it's pushing us up towards kind of our 2022 highs. So yesterday we had barrel cheese finish the day at 238.50 and blocks came in at 231.50. Really, that 240 mark has been on everyone's radar here for a bit on a strong rally. That's where we topped out here in 2022, and it has pushed us back up into that 23. We topped out over $24 milk in October yesterday for Class 3, giving us a really nice move for dairy producers going into the fall. A lot of this particular move has been more supply-driven than demand-driven. So in the past years when we've had these kind of rallies, a lot of times it's unexpected demand. This year, it has been more of a pressure on the supply side. So we're seeing bird flu move through U.S. markets, U.S. milk sheds at different times. California has just had some of its first confirmed cases. And coming out of some strong heat out in our western areas. So we're also moving into some new capacity levels in some of our production facilities. That's finally allowing a lot of producers to be able to ramp up production at the same time that we're limited on heifers. So we're kind of getting a little bit of a perfect storm on some things, hampering the ability to ramp up supply at the same time we're seeing our normal holiday buying. And that's putting some pressure here and giving us a nice pop higher in cheese.
What's the available supply situation look like then, Jenny? What's in cold storage?
Cold storage has been shrinking over the last few months. We'll have another look at that here coming in probably 2 weeks, I believe, is when our cold storage report comes in. Overall, we still are not particularly short. I would call it right on track with our normal cold storage numbers for cheese, but we're not growing it like maybe we traditionally would in a market where we're oversupplied. So it's really kind of balanced. I probably call this a little bit more balanced with just an inability to really ramp up production the way we want to.
Jenny Wackershauser along with us live this morning on the Midwest Farm Report. She's one of the broker analysts that you'll find in the complement of EverAg staff. Always want to remind you their website, ever.ag. Let's pivot a little bit, Jenny, and get away from the domestic milk situation and instead take a look at what's being discussed internationally. You said there's been a new incident in Europe that we might want to keep an eye on. What's that?
We've been watching blue tongue reports out of Europe for a little while, and blue tongue, similar to bird flu, is insect-borne. It is not transmittable animal to animal. I think they get outbreaks of this every once in a while, as depending on when the situations get kind of perfect. It goes through ruminant animals and manifests similar to what we're seeing in bird flu. Drop in milk production. They're seeing cows not bouncing back, some abortions of calves, things that may cause them to need to cull them early out of a herd, and just struggling to ramp up milk production for them as well as they go into fall and come out of their summer heat. So it's one of those things we're watching. They do have vaccines available, but it's one of those things you're always a little bit behind on getting the vaccines rolled out. So it's, as we look at that world export, especially cheese, we're always competing with European Union on our cheese exports. The U.S. cheese market always needs to have that extra export to maybe clean up some of our extra product. And their price has also gained over the last few weeks, which has helped push us higher as well. All of those things are just that overall look. We go into the fall, we try to analyze and pay attention to the availability of cheese on the world market. We're still seeing New Zealand coming into their wet season, coming into their kind of peak production. They have actually is the low price leader in the available cheese on the market. So we're very much in par with European Union prices. We're probably watching New Zealand a little bit closer on what they're seeing for available product and prices as we start to peak out here at near 240 cheese.
Yeah. We've got about a minute left, Jenny. I just want to basically skim these elements. World Ag Supply Demand Report's coming out, and that is something most people think about just for grain, but dairy's included too.
We do. I would say we don't generally follow that as close. I don't think that gets changed that often. We follow more of those core cold storage, those kind of numbers for us internally at EverAg. When we watch the WASDE reports, it's a much more look this time of year at the price on corn, price for corn silage, price for soybean meal for our producers, and really does our is there any changes to the availability of that feed as we go into what looks like an abundant?
Yeah, it sure doesn't look like we're going to have a problem with supply. And unfortunately for the corn and bean guys, the price is not going to be much of an issue either.
Correct. We're seeing seasonally we should start pulling out of some of our lows here traditionally, but when we go into one of these, what could be a historically high crop at a hunt, they're estimating a 182.4, which is a bumper crop for corn coming into this report, and 53.2 bushels on soybeans. That's very much an abundant crop. And as we start corn silage here in the last couple of weeks, we're starting to get snapshots that everything's looking pretty good coming out of the fields.
Appreciate it. Very good, Jenny. Jenny Wackershauser joining us live this morning again, one of the broker analysts we enjoy having with us from EverAg. You can find them online, ever.ag.
This is the Midwest Farm Report.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. Matt Nair on air.
Wisconsin Public Radio Dodge County clerks backtrack on using drop boxes after concerns from Republican sheriff in order to prevent the perception of voter fraud.
What is he citing as any sort of proof of concern about this?
Gut feeling. It's a gut feeling. Yeah, inherently.
Feel it in your bones.
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Ever wonder about the path food travels from farm to fork? That's next on Farm to Fork. If you're ready to try a highly effective microbial soil inoculant, then Rizol from ProGrow Bio should be your first choice. Rizol offers multiple benefits like enhanced biomass, bigger yields, and improved soil health. 100% organic and works with conventional or organic crops and comes in a soluble dry form for easy handling and long shelf life. Search the web for RHIZOL from ProGrow Bio.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
Food doesn't appear on your plate by magic. Although, to hear Lauren McNamara describe it, it almost sounds like magic.
You pull a product off your grocery store shelf, and the average consumer has no idea how much has gone into getting that product there, from the people that are growing the inputs, to the people that are trucking them across the country, to the people that are manufacturing them, to the people that are selling them in, the people designing the package. I mean, there is so much that goes into every single thing. And it just deserves a lot of respect and recognition.
McNamara used to work for General Mills and is now an executive at SunOpta, a Twin Cities-based maker of organic and specialty food products.
How we're able to scale the food supply chain, feed so many people at reasonable costs, make so many different varieties of things available. It never ceases to amaze me how this industry has evolved and how much we're able to offer to consumers. And I'm really proud to be a part of that.
McNamara says entrepreneurs keep coming up with incredible ideas for food products, and her company is open to assisting in bringing those ideas to market. You can learn more at sunopta.com. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show at 11:33, he joins us every other Thursday. The Acme Packing Company sports guru, Paul Noonan, joins us to talk all things sports balls. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Out here in the middle of all these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. And sometimes that's how it feels when you're going through tough times. Trouble sleeping, your mind racing. So what do? We get help. There are people in our community who are here for us. Sometimes just talking to someone can make all the difference in the world. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Today's U.S. Bowling League Day. I am not in a bowling league. I think that would actually be kind of fun.
Oh, yeah.
I do like to bowl. But
you got the bowling shirt going on tonight there, Pete.
I do have the bowling shirt. In case the game breaks out, I'm ready. Because I was raised, I'm a street bowler, Chris. I'm ready in case a game breaks out. It could happen.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM W.
Start your day off on the right foot with great local programming on Sunrise from the Center on WRCE.